Satellite Radio Blues.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Maybe Oprah Winfrey hitched her wagon to the wrong horse. XM had a terrible quarter, even worse than investors expected. They know satellite radio isn't going to make a profit for a while, but one XM director warned of a crisis, then stepped down an hour later. Today we'll find out how rival Sirius is doing on the balance sheet and whether its star Howard Stern will have anything to gloat about. Radio Shack has its own problems at the top. CEO David Edmondson admits he lied about a college degree on his resume, and the company is facing some harsh financial truths. Here's Marketplace business editor Cheryl Glazer.
Radio Shack reports its quarterly profit today, and those earnings are coming in lower than Wall Street had first hoped. Radio Shack's also meeting with investors to present its plan for boosting business. But now the PR department's doing damage control.
From a business standpoint, I don't think it is all that serious.
Morningstar analyst Joe Ballou says CEO David Edmondson has worked for Radio Shack for more than a decade. So even if he doesn't have a BA, he's still got a track record he can point to. But Ballou says the CEO's willingness to fib about his background may make it harder for shareholders to trust him when he's talking about the company or its finances.
Investors are looking to have confidence in management's judgment and integrity. Lying on your resume is definitely going to be on investors' minds.
Radio Shack's board of directors has hired a lawyer to investigate the situation. I'm Cheryl Glazer for Marketplace.
We haven't talked about the Enron trial much lately. It's 3 weeks old now, and so far only two people have taken the stand. The former head of the company's broadband unit testified that CEO Jeff Skilling pressured him to make the numbers look better than they actually were. Here's the number former Enron workers care about. The government says they'll receive $133 million in stock and pension benefits. That's 38 cents for every dollar employees put in. Oil prices are almost $10 a barrel less than they were 2 weeks ago, and so the trip to the gas station is a little easier on the wallet. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, don't get used to the cheaper gas.
A warm winter and plentiful supply pushed gasoline futures to a one-year low this week. But Sarah Emerson with Energy Security Analysis says the trend could be short-lived. This spring, she says refineries will cut their inventories more than usual to prepare for new cleaner fuel requirements.
When they come back out of maintenance, product inventories will be low. At the same time, the driving season will begin. So you have a whole bunch of factors in the sort of April, May, June timeframe that could actually push prices back up.
Traders got a head start on higher prices yesterday. After steady declines this month, crude and gasoline futures both closed higher in New York. But analysts say the rebound may be temporary. This week, the U.S. Energy Department reported that crude oil inventories are 11% higher than this time last year, enough to keep prices down for now. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a new 4.5-year high Thursday. The Dow climbed 61 points to 11,120. The S&P 500 gained 9 to 1289. And the NASDAQ was up 18 points. Good earnings from Hewlett-Packard and JCPenney drove the markets. You're listening to Marketplace. It's Friday, thank goodness. Time for the job files. Listen to this guy's job.
I'm Jim Riggs. I'm the house organist at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, and I play music for silent movies. I first heard one of these in my music class in seventh grade. It was like the clouds parting and the ray of light shining down. It was this snot-nosed kid of 13, and I had tears coming down my face. Back in the 1920s, when these things were popular, about the biggest sound you ever heard was the band playing in the park. And then people would go into a theater and hear... just blew their socks off. It's really tremendous fun to see the action unfold on screen. There's music coming out my fingers. All just comes together in this great experience you can't get any other way.
Peter Crimmins produced the job files. The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. And by saveandinvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money. online at saveandinvest.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. People use the term going green when talking about environmentally friendly choices. That's probably the right color, because it usually costs extra to choose organic food or buy a hybrid. Green electricity comes at a price. But some states are starting to give green to people who go green. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
In Colorado, residents usually pay a premium when they sign up for their utility's voluntary wind energy program called WindSource. Not anymore.
Let's see here. There it is. WindSource adjustment. Minus 95 cents. Excellent.
Jason Denner of Boulder says the 95-cent credit he receives on his utility bill represents more than just saving a buck. It's about seeing something he believes in finally become competitive. For the first time, wind energy in places like Colorado and Austin, Texas, now costs less than electricity from natural gas. Renewable energy advocate Susan Innes.
What this really means is that what environmental groups and clean energy advocates have been saying for years, that wind power hedges against fuel prices, has actually happened.
Innes says wind power offers something conventional power can only dream of, a stable price, as long as the wind keeps blowing. That's not much of a problem in eastern Colorado. On a gusty afternoon, a 108-turbine wind farm near Lamar sends a steady supply of clean electricity into the grid. Each of these jetliner-sized turbines generates enough juice to power about 1,500 homes. John Stolp says the region's gales used to be something farmers cursed, but times have changed.
We've taken a little different view and a little better attitude about wind on when it can be converted into something like this, and especially if our farming or ranching operations can get some of the revenue, why that's quite helpful.
Most wind farms are owned by multinational companies like Shell and GE. They pay ranchers and farmers rent to place turbines on their land and then sell the electricity to local utilities at a profit. But Stolp and a handful of his neighbors have a better idea. Build their own wind farm and keep the profits local. He takes me down the road to a high bluff on his 15,000-acre ranch. Stolp says the booming wind energy market has the potential to not only save utility customers money, it will also breathe some badly needed life back into the rural economy.
It's kind of exciting to think that someday we'll have some turbines going here that capturing some of the energy out of this wind, and yet being able to farm the ground and run cattle on the ground very much like we have, you know, in the past.
He says for the first time in years, he's optimistic he'll be able to pass his farm on to his son. In Denver, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Out in the fields of southern Arizona, they're growing